Luke chapter 18. While you're turning to Luke chapter 18, I want to share something with you. You may not know that with the exception of Monday night and Friday night, there's been a prayer meeting here at Bethel every night of the week over the last, well, over 10 years now, since 2008, November. And it started as a result of special meetings that we had that fall of 2008. And in those special meetings, God really moved. He really moved across this congregation. And over the years, we've seen people join us, come and go. Others came sporadically. But there's been a tiny nucleus of people that have really persevered in prayer. Remember Hurricane Sandy? Obviously you do. Well, Hurricane Sandy disrupted, but it didn't discontinue our nightly prayer meeting. And the reason for that is because this prayer meeting was not my idea. It wasn't a human invention, but rather it was God's doing. It was a supernatural thing. And I want it to continue to be that. You can't properly analyze that kind of a thing. But I was looking here in Luke chapter 18. The first eight verses give us, Jesus told a story here that reveals several important truths about prayer. And it helps explain what God's done and what God's doing in keeping us praying and not quitting. Look at the first verse of Luke 18. And he, that's Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, if I could put that in different words, I would simply say, one day Jesus told his disciples a story that they should always pray and not quit. That's what verse 1 is saying. And so that's what this is about. I want you to look at the story that he told, beginning in verse 2. There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, again, if I would put that in different words, I would say it this way. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, I don't fear God, and I don't care about people. But a widow in that city came to him repeatedly saying, will you give me justice in this dispute that I have with my enemy? And the judge just ignored her for a while, but he finally said to himself, you know, even though I don't fear God or care about people, this woman is driving me crazy. And I'm going to see to it that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her continued request. Let's pick it up again in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge saith. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? If I could just rephrase what Jesus is saying here in these verses, he's saying, look, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to His own people who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on earth who have faith? I want to share several things with you from this story Jesus told pertaining to prayer after we pause a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the thoughts that we can share tonight. Thank You for the blessings that were shared with us as to how You have worked and are working. And Lord, we thank You for this parable. We ask that You might give us just something simple that we could latch on to tonight that would really impact our prayer life. Because that's why You told this story, so that we wouldn't give up, so that we wouldn't quit praying. So, Lord, I pray that it would have that kind of an impact in each one of us. Do this not for me, but for Your name's sake. You're worthy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to note one of the first things that I think really fits into this whole idea that we should not give up praying. And that is, in verses 2 to 5, I'm thinking about this woman, this widow woman. The whole story is built around this widow woman who is personally in a desperate situation. I don't know what it is, it really doesn't matter, but she's desperate. She's a poor widow woman. She has a problem with someone, and she wants a resolution. And so here's this woman in dispute with a personal enemy. She's in distress. Okay? You know, there's a lot of distress going around. There's a lot of distress in life, isn't there? If you don't have distress tonight, you'll have distress soon enough. There's more than enough to go around. We all face times of real distress. This woman is in a desperate condition. In this dispute with her personal enemy, she's demanding justice from this judge, and he simply ignores her. But it doesn't discourage her. She's distressed and ignored by the person that's supposed to step up and help her, but she's not discouraged. Life in this hostile world is very distressing. We find ourselves in desperate situations that demand not merely that some person help us, but that God intervene and help us. Have you been in situations like that recently where there's no human help that can solve this? There's no human help would be enough. We need God in this situation. It's so distressing. It's so desperate. We need divine intervention. You have to have God on your side, and you have to see Him at work on your behalf. Now, folks, is God on your side? What does the Scripture say about God's people? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is God on your side? Absolutely. You may not feel He is, but that's not the point. In fact, that's a problem because oft we go by the way we feel instead of by the facts of what God says. And so we have to have God on our side, and we also have to see God at work on our behalf. Do you believe that God is at work on your behalf? You think that God's ignoring you? You know, it really takes a heart of faith to believe, despite what you see or what you feel, that God is at work on your behalf. In distressing situations, it's very important. Is God on your side? Is God at work in your behalf? I'm telling you this. that the more that you as an individual are willing to surrender to God, to God's plan, to God's purpose for your life, the more you want what God wants, the more you'll experience God's supernatural intervention in your world. Does that make sense? Think about what I'm saying. Are you with me tonight? Show me the whites of your eyes so I know you're with me. I want to know that you're with me and not somewhere else. I want you to understand this important truth. The more that you surrender to God, the more that you want what God wants and not what you want or what someone else wants, the more you surrender and want what God wants, the more that you are going to experience the reality of God at work in your life and Him divinely intervening in your circumstances, your distress. There's a second thing, and I'm trying to be brief and simple tonight. There's a second thing I want you to see here, and that is care. The story is a contrast between the careless attitude of this unjust judge versus the careful attitude of God. The whole story really is centered in care. There's that careless judge. The story here reveals a powerful person that didn't care for anyone but himself. He didn't even fear God. He was like Pharaoh when Moses went before Pharaoh and told him, "Let God's people go, or this." And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" That's what this unjust judge is like. He doesn't fear God. Why should I care? That's his attitude. And why should I care for people? So he's a very careless judge. He initially ignores this woman till her repeated coming to him is more trouble to him. It's more trouble to him than to listen to her and help her. And so finally he relents and gives in. But he only takes proper action because of self-consideration. To spare himself trouble, he finally acts. So he's just a careless judge. He does not care about people. He's been put in a position of power, but he has no heart for people. That's the wrong person to put in place like that. But he is a complete contrast, this careless judge, with a careful God that is pictured here. Think of the word careful. We say, be careful. Think of what it means. It means to be full of care. God is careful. He is full of care for us. Here's distress. Here's desperate times. The judge is careless. He could care. He couldn't care less. But God is careful. He's full of care for us. The point is that God is totally the opposite in His attitude towards His people's distress. Look at what He says here. Verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" I tell you, He will avenge them speedily or quickly. Why? He's careful. Our God is careful. The point is, if this careless judge finally got around to rendering a just decision for this desperate woman in distress, don't you think that God, who cares so deeply for you, do you think that He is going to deliberately ignore you, even if it seems like He is? He's not. Even if it seems like God isn't hearing you, is ignoring you, He's not, because He's not like that at all. He's the total opposite of this unjust judge who is careless. He could care less about this woman. He could care less about her distress, about the desperate situation. God's not like that at all. This is the contrast here, folks. He cares deeply. In fact, verse 8, the first part is that God acts quickly in answering your request. You don't have to persuade Him to get an answer. You don't have to, as they say, twist His arm in order to get Him to do what you need God's intervention in. You simply have to trust Him that when He acts, His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. God never acts prematurely, and He never acts late. God always acts, as the Bible says, in the fullness of time, which means at just the perfect moment, God acts. And only God in His wisdom knows exactly when to step in and intervene. We think sometimes He's late. He's not. He's never late. God is said here to act quickly. As God sees the situation in His infinite wisdom, when He acts, it is speedy. It is quickly. There's one final thing I want you to think about with me tonight, and that's the second half of verse 8. And this is really the kicker. He says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Here's the point of the story. It's that faith is the key to not quitting in prayer. Faith is the key to persevering in prayer. But not just faith, but faith's object. That is the right object of faith. Faith is meaningless unless the object has meaning. Faith is purposeless if it's just nebulous. Faith has to be fastened on that unmovable, that unfailing object, capital O, meaning God Himself. He has to be the object of our faith. And that's what He's talking about. When He comes, shall He find faith on the earth? And in order to have faith, that is, that God is at work and that God will act at the perfect time, you have to be convinced by God. Now I ask you, how does God convince His people? Do you just wake up, do you go to bed unconvinced at night and wake up in the morning convinced by God? How does God convince His people that regardless of how hopeless and how horrible things get in this life or in this world, you're totally convinced that God's at work and He's working His plan? How does He convince you of that? When your prayer is in sync with God's plan, God gets His will done. And your prayer gets answered in God's time. And to be in sync with God, to be convinced by God, to have faith in God, means that you are reading and studying the Bible with a hungry, humble heart to know Him, to know His desires, to know His purpose and His plan, and to be led by Him accordingly, and to be willing to surrender to Him, and to personally depend upon Him to do what He wants. How do you get convinced by God? How do you have faith in God? You get it by coming to know Him as He reveals Himself in His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the middle of a world that is filled with evil circumstances, that looks hopeless and appears horrible, we can besiege heaven with persistence, with fervency, with believing prayer, because God, through His Word, has convinced our hearts that what God says is true, and what God wants, and what God desires, and that God is working. He has a purpose in this. He has a plan that He's working on in all of our circumstances, in our distress. Notice He says in that 8th verse, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? It's a reference to the coming again of Jesus, the Messiah. At Christ's return, will we be among those who are convinced that God cares? That He's careful to hear and answer His people's prayer? The question is, will you be faithful in prayer, or will you quit? That's the kind of faith that Jesus wants to find when He returns. And so that verse fits in with the whole subject that He was dealing with in the previous chapter about His coming again. He's saying, don't give up, don't quit praying. And when I come again, I want to find you still praying. I want to find you not quitting. I want to find you convinced by my word, what I've said. And thus, when I return again, I want to see the kind of faith that is still seeking, still faithful in prayer. That's what I want to find when I return. So the question is to us, when Jesus returns, and He could return at any time, we believe in the any moment appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes back, will He find us praying? Or will He find us having quit? Do we quit praying because we're disappointed? Do we simply give up because things haven't happened as quickly as we thought they should? When He comes back, will He find us people of faith? People that are offering to Him believing prayer because we are convinced on the basis of the Word of God that what He says, He is doing. You know what? You should become so convinced about the things that you know in God's Word are right to pray that as far as you're concerned, whether you see it happen or not, it's done because God said it and you're believing Him. That's what He means when He says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on. That's what He wants to see in His people now and when He returns, that kind of faith. There was one thing I wanted to share in closing. Actually, I had more to say, but let me just wind it up like this. If you've become discouraged and tempted to quit praying over something because it seems you're not getting the answer that you want for your prayer, perhaps you ought to check and see if your request is according to God's will, if it fits into God's purpose and plan, if you're submitted to His way. If so, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. But do so convinced that you're heard and that the answer's on the way, or as I said a moment ago, it's already done in God's appropriate time. You know, faith like that in God makes great optimists. Over in Burma, Adoniram Judson was lying in a in a stinking jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles. And his feet were bound to a bamboo pole. And one of the other prisoners sneered at him and said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of your converting the heathen?" And his instant reply was, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." Just as bright as... Here's a man in prison, in pain, in suffering, and yet he believed God. He didn't quit praying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I...